Thank you for tuning in to the Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. If you're enjoying what you're listening to and all my amazing guests have to offer, please consider supporting the show by subscribing to our Patreon. The link is at the bottom of the descriptions. All donations go to support our ability to continue to bring you fun and informative content. We could never do it without support from the listeners like you. So thank you. I appreciate you all. And without further ado...
Welcome back to Hanging Out With My Cookbook Authors. Today, we're hanging out with Jenny Gomes, master food preserver, and her new cookbook, The Pressure Canning Cookbook. It does what it says on the tin. She's taking the pressure off of canning. Let's go hang out with Jenny. Jenny!
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. I'm super excited about your cookbook, the Pressure Canning Cookbook, because A, I didn't know that there was such an instrument called a pressure canner.
Yeah. Yes,
and
there
when
is.
When I think about canning, I think about my great-grandmother on the stove with like her big metal tub and like filled with all the jars.
Yes.
And just, and it taking forever and it being a huge pain in the butt.
Yes, yes. So,
but I hear you've taken the pressure out of pressure canning.
Yes, I have. the puns just don't quit. I love regular water bath canning, like you are remembering your grandma doing. I love that, and I got into that first when I was pregnant with my first child, and kind of retaught myself what my grandma and my mom did. And then I really realized that there was lots of canning information that was meant for people who wanted to can all day long and can mountains of produce. And that's kind of when I realized I wanted to talk to people interested in canning like a normal amount of produce, a normal, like enough for a busy mom, but not mountains and mountains of food. So after I got great at water bath canning, I learned more about pressure canning, and that is what the Pressure Canning Cookbook's all about.
So small batch canning for you know, people with what, gardens, and or even you can go to the store, right?
Well, for gardens, for farmers markets, for normal people who just go to Costco and see a great deal on peaches or a great bargain cut of meat. I don't even necessarily say I can small batches, but more just moderate sizes of canning, just so that you could achieve it like in a kid's nap time in a couple hours. That's kind of my favorite kind of canning.
I love it because I'm not gonna lie, I don't think that I've ever actually canned anything myself ever. So pressure canning, how does pressure canning work? Why is pressure canning different?
It's a great question. Okay, so regular water bath canning with grandma's black and speckled pot. The kinds of recipes you can in a water bath are high in acid. So they're like your jams and jellies, your fruit, your applesauce, or pickles. So all those types of recipes are high acid. So because they're high in acid, they can be safely preserved with the heat of a water bath. And when you want to can something that's low acid, like plain veggies or meat, beans, those types of foods, then you need higher heat. So the pressure canner is a pot that has a locking lid and it builds up heat to a much greater degree. It gets over 240 degrees because it doesn't have that acid in the fruit or acid from the vinegar brine to rely on. So the idea with all kinds of canning is you're making an environment inside the jar that's kind of like, I always say, that's like the surface of Mars. Like it is inhospitable to growing
anything.
A spoiler. Yeah, to growing anything. Yeah, you don't want anything growing. You want no,
barren
no sign
desert.
Of life. Yes, yes, you want no sign of life. So if you don't have acid in like chunks of chicken or meat or beans or stew or split pea, whatever, then you need to have a higher heat to kill all potential spoilers. And you achieve that with a pressure canner. So it just has a locking lid, a gauge to tell you when the appropriate amount of pressure or heat has built up. And that's the contraption that heats in your own home jars over 140 degrees.
So is that similar to like industrial canning then? It's just, they don't have to use the acids, right? So it's just heated higher or different preservatives?
Like if you were to go to the grocery store and buy a can of chili or a can of whatever, right? How they can is different than what you can purchase to use for canning in your own home, right?
Right.
So they can get things much hotter, much faster. That's why you can buy a can of, well, you can buy lots of cans of anything, but in the industrial canning process, it gets a lot hotter.
Really,
a lot
really, really, the, really hot. Yeah.
Yes. So what's available for a home canner is either the water bath canner or a steam canner. And we can talk about that if you'd like, but those are for high acid recipes, or a pressure canner.
Where we can can even more stuff.
Yes. Yes. So, yes, but you can.
Still using the same like mason jars. Like walk me through the process of like, I've decided that I want to start canning. I've ordered my pressure cooker.
Yes.
Or
yes.
my pressure canner. Yes. It's on the way. And yes. now I need to go get the supplies. Yes. And everything that yes. I need to become a pressure canner.
Okay, so you need a trusted low acid pressure canning recipe. If you don't end up buying my book, you can find tons of free, tested, safe pressure canning recipes from any cooperative extension office. So those work in tandem with your university systems for your whatever your state you're in. And they have tons of free, tested low acid recipes available for all kinds of things.
Fun.
So you need a recipe. Need a mason. Check. Yes. You need a safe recipe. Then you need a canning jar. The common brands in America are Ball, Mason, Kerr. Kilner is a British brand. You can can in Weck jars, which are very pretty and look kind of chic. They're a German brand.
A chic canning.
And you need... A chic canning, yes. Yes. They're very pretty. You can also use reused jars as long as they were designed for canning. You need lids. So for the regular water bath canning, you just need a new lid from the grocery store.
It's always the lids.
You're not supposed to reuse lids.
It's always the lids. I always so many mason jars, but yet so few lids.
But yes, no lids.
Yes.
Well, if you start canning,
they're like the left sock.
You start canning, you'll accumulate some. Yes. Yes.
I don't know where they go.
They've disappeared.
I know I used to have them.
Yes. So you can get new lids at grocery stores or hardware stores or online. And then you would need a funnel. I think that is pretty darn important. I mean, you could do it without a funnel, but it's very nice to have a funnel. You need a ladle
to ladle your stew or your soup.
Yeah, you need a funnel. A ladle, probably have that. And then I think that's it. As long as you have a pressure canner, a good recipe, and those supplies, I think people feel very put off by the fact that they have to get the special pot. But if you're interested in food preservation with the purpose of like meal planning, having pre-cooked homemade stuff on the pantry, you'll use it all the time.
So what do you think some of the like easiest things for someone to start with? Like recipes, like I'm sitting around my house, I'm going, all right, great. What do I want to can? If I'm going to can something, what is it that I
great.
Would, what am I going to do?
So it's not the easiest recipe, but I think a lot of people find me online because they're interested in making bone broth.
Really?
So if you have listeners that aren't hip to bone broth, it is the thing that many different types of people are making, drinking, freezing, and pressure canning. And you make it by roasting trays of bones with the marrow in them. You roast, you have aromatics on there. You can do herbs, you can do ginger and turmeric, and you know, add
make
in your therapeutic
bomb.
Veggies, all you want. Yes. And then you simmer these roasted bones in a huge pot for a long time, like overnight sometimes. In an instant pot, you can do it for like 4 hours. You strain, and then you have this super nutrient-rich, collagen-rich bone broth. People say it's gut healing. I am not going to make a medical claim on your podcast or on anyone else's, but people claim that they are really can be very therapeutic.
But
so you can pressure can bone broth.
You can also just use it to make beef stew later.
Yes. Yes. So you could make...
But I love that.
I think the preparing of the recipe isn't, I don't think, is the hard part. And you obviously have an audience of people who are willing to cook things. So if you can cook a thing or two, I feel like any pressure canning recipe is pretty easily prepared. So the idea is you prepare your bone broth or your stew or your chunks of chicken that you've browned or your sloppy joe mix or... split pea soup, vegetable bean, whatever the recipe may be. And then you put your warmed jars, one at a time on your countertop. You ladle in your soup or your stew or your bone broth or whatever you've got. You apply the lid. You put it in the pressure canner. When the pressure canner is full of jars or you've run out of super stew, you put your lid on. And you'll just follow the directions that come with your pressure canner. And I can't stress that enough. People, I think we're kind of edging away from relying on directions that come with products into just Googling stuff. It's really smart to use the instructions that came with your pot. And your pot's going to tell you exactly what to do. Most pressure canners require 2 or 3 quarts of water at the bottom. Just a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. You put your lid on. Little bit. Your filled jars. Little bit of water. Put your lid on. There's a little... 10 minutes at the beginning where it's called exhausting, and you can make lots of exhausted jokes about that, but you're just letting steam flow out of the pot through the vent port. It's like a little chimney, a little bit of steam coming out, and then your directions for your pot will tell you to put the pressure regulator. It's a little, like a little top hat over, or your chimney cap over your vent pipe, and then your pot builds some pressure. You read the dial, you set your timer, and then like 45 minutes later, you're done.
That's, you know, we are so wasteful, you know, as Americans in the country. And I think a lot of it is because we, you know, we don't want to save things because they're going to go bad. We don't want to put them in the freezer because, you know, they're not going to be that good later, even if, you know. And so a lot of times we're just disposing of all this like usable material because we just don't know how to preserve it anymore. And we don't care about preserving things anymore because we'll just go to the store and buy more.
Right.
But because I've looked at, you know, bones left over from even going and getting like the rotisserie chickens at the store, right?
Yeah.
Even home.
Yeah.
And you have all this leftover carcass that could easily become like a broth to be used to make chicken noodle soup later. But am I going to take the time to do that and put it in the fridge? And now it's going to sit there. Am I really going to make that chicken noodle soup in the time before that actually goes bad?
Yeah.
But if I could preserve that in a quick and easy fashion, and then put it on a shelf that's not going to take up my refrigerator space.
Right.
And so have that very healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people get hung up. Like, I think that they want quick and easy. And if you just learn how, it becomes easy. But I can't make it be a whole lot faster necessarily. But once you get an idea of what steps to do, then you can incorporate it, I think, very readily. And it doesn't end up taking a whole lot extra work, really. And if you think about it, like, you either have to work at a regular job to earn the money to buy food, or you can reduce your waste and spend an hour making broth. You know what I mean? I feel like it can end up
Or canning, that leftover chili, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That I want to put in the freezer, but, like, I know I'm going to throw it away in, like, 6 months.
Well,
because it's going to get lost in the bottom of the freezer.
Yeah.
But if I had a shelf, say an open shelf, with all the things that I could potentially eat, like I normally do, right? And you look through your cabinet, right?
Yeah.
As you look through your cabinet, all that stuff that I've saved that was delicious. I do want to eat that. It's not lost at the bottom of my freezer now.
Well, and people have a limit to how much freezer space they have, right? So if you are a chest freezer owner, which is a great, I mean, those are cool appliances. Of course, I have one and I'm lucky to have it, but even if you have a chest freezer, that still is limited, and there's a potential of a power outage and then you lose whatever's inside. So it's not a perfect solution. Pressure canning can be a major time saver once you learn how to do it. And then you can just incorporate it into your normal cooking and meal planning and grocery shopping routine, I think.
Yeah, that doesn't sound that hard, you know?
It really isn't. It isn't.
It sounds as simple to use as an air fryer, really, right?
I'm a teacher, so I feel very willing to tell people to read the directions. So just reading the directions that come with the pot, I can't stress enough how that will just resolve 99% of the questions that you might have. If you just do what the directions say, you won't encounter any pitfalls.
Read the directions.
Yeah, just read them. Yes.
Read the
directions. It's novel, I know.
Just
read them. I know,
you mean that
hard
piece of paper that comes in the box that we usually just...
Yeah.
That thing? That's important.
And I know. And they usually are in black and white. They usually don't have great photos, but they
and
are
tiny little letters.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. They need
to
get
the
program.
That. Yeah.
I mean,
important.
The one that I have a Presto brand pressure canner, and the instructions that came with mine, it wasn't like assembling a piece of IKEA furniture. I mean, it was a 4 or 5 pages to read, not that long, but you do have to read them so you know how much water to put in the bottom. Some brands of pressure canners have, you just need to know, because I could never tell you, no cooperative extension office could tell you. You need to be able to, you need to know that, right? It'd be as simple as knowing what kind of fuel to put in your vehicle. You need to know that. But once you get going on it, it can really be a big time saver.
I love it. I might have to go order me one now. Hey, if you want a pressure canner, there's a link down there. Pick your brand.
Perfect.
Also link for her book, because you're gonna need the recipes first, and she has the recipes.
Yes.
So you're gonna need to get the book so you can have the recipes, then order the canner.
Perfect.
And then go ahead and start canning some stuff and saving yourself money and the world.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So what are some things to avoid while canning? I see that fats are obviously something that can disturb our pressure canning process.
So I think that if you were to go tell people hey, I'm going to start pressure canning, invariably someone will say, hey, I heard about a lady who blew up her kitchen. And I think that those stories are the source of many an urban legend, right? Many a rural legend.
Well, back in great grandma's day, the actual pressure cookers, you could accidentally blow them up. Not so much anymore.
Today, they're very safe. They have many safety features on each lid. There's a variety of tools at your disposal that will tell you, you need to take this off of the heat or whatever the case may be. But the vast majority of stories I've heard via social media, people contact me on Instagram, emails to me, they say that when you're done with your pressure canning process, you turn off the heat, and then it takes a minute for it to cool down. It takes several minutes, 20 minutes, let's say. It takes a while. And for some people, that's too long.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's really hot. So it's hot. Most accidents happen when people take the lid off before the pressure has actually reduced, with still pressurized, and then the lid flies off and goes into the ceiling or whatever. If people get impatient. So again,
but I bet there has to be a breath. So my Instapot won't let me open it until the pressure is completely gone.
So there
has to be a brand that has that same safety feature on it.
It's not quite the same with a pressure canner and an Instant Pot. It's a little bit different. It's the same idea.
Okay.
So I believe in theory you could open several brands' lids, even brand new ones. You shouldn't, and it would be very hard to do. But you're
but you probably, if you were trying really hard because your impatience just.
Yeah, so just that's the pitfall. I think that the most common one is that, and again, that still is pretty rare. I just, when I'm done pressure canning, I turn the stove off and then I go do something else. I give it half an hour.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's going to happen while it's in there. It's just cooling down. It's depressurizing. Chill. You can go do laundry. You can leave the house. You can, as long as the heat's off.
It's like leaving your crock pot on low.
Yes. But off. Go but away. Like nothing is going to happen. And only it's only going to cause you trouble if you rush it. So just go do something else. And then.
Perfectly safe.
The only other.
And what about recipes and like.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to can the meats.
Yeah. So there's a wealth of terrible information out there on the internet. And it's really, that's the great and horrible part about the internet, right? There's just so much information. It's hard for a person to know what is valid and what's not valid. And there's a pretty robust community of people that share recipes that aren't tested to be safe and share methods that aren't safe. And I think that is actually really confusing for a new canner, because how do you know who knows what they're doing?
Yeah, I thought
whatever.
Google knew.
And you can hardly
Google
blame
doesn't
a new
know.
Person. You can't blame a new person for not knowing. So that, I think, is really tricky for newbies. And I think, like I say, if you don't get a book from a trusted source, I would recommend Googling cooperative extension plus split pea soup pressure canning recipe, or cooperative extension plus canned chicken, or Google that, search for
cooperative extension.
Yes.
/ recipe.
Yes. That way you're going to get tested recipes that you'll just circumvent all the ever nonsense out there.
All the internet garbage.
There's just kind of a lot. and it's really confusing for newbies. It's honestly such a pet peeve of mine. It's such an unfortunate reality. It really deters people, because if they're trying to do it correctly and they encounter like, well, this is different than this, and or these instructions are different, and these amount, you know, it's very hard to know. So that's my best tip. But you asked about canning meat. Canning meat, here's a great tip for delicious canned meat. You can safely put raw meat into a canning jar and pressure can it.
Do what?
And it would seem, yeah, you can can like just sous-vide? Chunks of beef. I guess it would be kind of like a sous vide, but just at higher temperature, right? So you can put chunks of chicken, chunks of rabbit, chunks of beef, chunks of venison, chunks of whatever into a jar, and you can season it. But it's not a problem. It comes out perfectly safe, and it's perfectly pressure canned. But it gets, it just loses its shape, and it is visually unappealing. It's not pretty to look at.
No.
If you take the time to...
I made a Bubba Burger in the pressure cooker one time because Bubba Burger's website said that don't knock it till you tried it. And so I tried it. You're not good. Don't ever.
And you're knocking it. Yeah, it's just like, if you take the time to brown your meat and season it before you put it in the jar, it is remarkable how much better looking and how much more appetizing. It holds its shape. Take the time to do it. Sometimes it's like you're in a rush or whatever, and there's a lot of people that come to my blog who are like butchering 40 meat chickens, and like they don't have time to do that. Okay,
well,
fine.
My dogs are extremely picky, right? So one of them is extremely picky. The other one will eat anything, but the super picky one literally has to have like real steak, chicken,
beefs.
Sausage, like something that's he won't just eat, even though we buy him like Fresh Pet or even Farmer's Dog. Is just like, not till I get that hamburger.
Right. Well, then.
If I could make like that raw made dog food, put it in a can.
Yes.
Store that as, you know.
Yes.
Really healthy homemade dog food
for
extended periods of time. That's an amazing thing to do with a pressure canner too.
I should write some blog posts about that. That's a great idea. I've never ever talked about canning dog food, but that's a great idea. And it's helpful because if you get a great price on it at Costco or whatever market, right? Then you can do a bunch of it all at once.
Yep.
It's a great idea.
I mean, particularly all this because there's a ton of dog blogs out there too, just about how to make with a raw diet right, and just all that stuff is super cheap at the store. The gizzards, the hearts, the livers, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So actually cheap, right? And
super
good for them. But preserving it and hanging on to it seems
right. And then having to shop for that stuff, just a thing to think about. That's a nuisance, I'm sure. It's a great idea. So let's say that one of your listeners is like, yes, I'm canning dog food. I'm gonna give you the quick version. You would can it according to any of the tested raw meat recipes. And if you're mixing meat, if you're mixing like chicken and beef for this wonderful pooch of yours, for Rover, you would just choose the processing time, the length of time it's in the pot. That's the longest.
To the beef length.
So beef would go a little longer than chicken, for example. So you just would can the whole thing a little longer.
All right. Pressure canning for Fido.
That's a great idea.
Jenny's next book.
Yes. Yes. You got it.
I'll buy it when it comes out. You let me know.
It'd probably be a runaway success. It probably would.
In the meantime,
I'm writing
your cookbook will be out. When does the cookbook come out, and where can we go get it?
Okay, you can get the Pressure Canning Cookbook anywhere books are sold on April 2nd of 2024. It's available for pre-order right now. I can share with you a visual guide to tide your listeners over if they're listening to this before it's available, or if they just want to like get a peek into what the book would look like. I can share that with you. I think it's 4 pages, but it gives you the equipment that you'd need, the process for pressure canning, and the types of foods that you would use
in a
pressure canner recipe.
On the screen there for a second,
you wouldn't. So I'll share that.
Where
for sure.
can we find you to if we have serious pressure canning questions? Where do I find you? I need help.
Awesome. Yes. Well, you might. So I'm the co-host of a preserving podcast called Perfectly Preserved. So if you are into podcasts and want to dive in, You can search for the Perfectly Preserved podcast. And my name's Jenny Gomes, and my Instagram handle is at the Domestic Wildflower. And I hang out there on social most.
Links are all right down there too.
And you can shoot me an email.
Go, Jenny. Go do some canning.
Find me online.
Let's preserve some food. Preserve the world. Save ourselves money.
Perfect.
And Jenny already came up with the recipes for us, so get the book. So
yes,
time saved. You know, time saved.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Yes. And now I am actually super excited to maybe.
Thanks so much.
Go do some canning. What are you having for dinner tonight?
Oh, what am I having for dinner? Roasted potatoes and a couple of steaks that were looking like they were at the bottom of the freezer, like we talked about. Bottom of the freezer steaks. A couple of steaks.
Hey, gotta get them while they're still good.
Two artichokes. Artichokes are coming in season here in California, and they're my favorite vegetable. So a couple of artichokes.
Are you peeling and dipping, or are peeling you just going and dipping for the hearts? All right.
We peel and dip in Best Food mayonnaise. And I know people do lemon. I know people do mustard and mayo. Mayonnaise. We're all mayo in my house.
Mayo. No, that when I was a kid, mayo. Cool. Right?
Yes.
I feel like people forgot that you could eat the leaves.
Yeah. Oh, more food waste. That's like its own podcast episode. It's its own episode.
The rest of the artichoke dipped in mayonnaise. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. It really is. God, I miss that. I haven't had that in decades.
It's my favorite. It's my kid's favorite vegetable. Isn't that weird for a kid to love an artichoke?
Oh, when I was a kid, all of us loved that. Like my mom would. We got excited when she would like steam that avocado.
And the artichoke.
The artichoke and just peel it off. That's like chips.
That was what I asked for my birthday dinner every year, and it was in the winter, so it was like extra expensive. But I was like the splurge is we would get an artichoke for my birthday dinner. Mm-hmm. They're good.
We didn't really like the heart either. Like my mom would eat the heart.
We had to cut it perfectly evenly and share. Everyone got the exact same size piece.
That's fun.
Great question though. If you pressure cans on dog food, I want to know immediately.
I will.
It's a wonderful idea. Wonderful.
I will send you the video when I make it, and I might actually make that. So
that's a great idea. Perfect. Yes.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Woo! Woo! Canning's fun! Hey, if you want to win a free copy of the Pressure Canning Cookbook, go like and subscribe to the main podcast video, Pressure Canning with Jenny Gomes. You don't want your family to starve, do you? The world might end, your family might starve. Make sure you go get yourself a pressure canner. There's a link right down there. Save your family! Or just because you might want to can some stuff.
No, it's fine.